Okay. Hello, my name is Päivi and I'm from Finland and I am an adult child. Welcome to the 6th European annual event organized by the ACA European Committee. We are doing 8 virtual meetings today between 10 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central European time. Please see the full program on the web pages. The link is shared in the chat. This is an ACA speakers meeting with the theme Living the Steps in Your Life. Please note that only the active speakers will be unmuted, and also we have turned off everyone's cameras for meeting safety. If you would like to share, use the raise hand feature at the time to speak. You will be unmuted when it is your turn to speak. Please join me in opening our meeting with the ACA Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that the one is me. We meet to share the experience we had as children growing up in an alcoholic or dysfunctional home. That experience infected us then, and it affects us today. By practicing the 12 steps, by focusing on the solution, and by accepting a higher power of our understanding, we find freedom for the effects of alcoholism and other family dysfunctions. We identify with the problem and learn to live in solution one day at a time.
Yeah, hi everyone. Yolanda Adult Child. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, so one, we become isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. Two, we become approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. Three, we are frightened by angry people and personal criticism. Four, we either become alcoholics, marry them or both, or find another compulsive personality, such as workaholic, to fulfill our sick abandonment needs. Five, we live life from the viewpoint of victims and we are attracted by the weakness in our love and friendship relationships. Six, we have overdeveloped sense of responsibility and it's easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us not to look too closely at our own faults. Seven, we get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. Eight, we become addicted to excitement. Nine, we confuse love and pity and tend to love people we can pity and rescue. Ten, we have stuffed our feelings off from our traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts so much, denial. 11, we judge ourselves harshly and have very low self-esteem. 12, we are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment and will do anything to hold on to a relationship in order to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we received from living with sick people who were never there emotionally for us. 13, alcoholism is a family disease, and we become para-alcoholics and took on the characteristics of that disease, even though we did not pick up the drink. And number 14, para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors.
Thank you. Shola. We can't hear you. Maybe there is something wrong with your microphone, because according to Zoom, you should be able to speak. Okay, we have to go on to Nikki R.
Hi, Nikki, adult child.
Hello.
Hello.
So, Nikki, the solution is on the screen, so you can start to read it.
Sorry, I did unmute, but it didn't take. Nikki, adult child, the solution is to become your own loving parent. As ACA becomes a safe place for you, you will find freedom to express all the hurts and fears you have kept inside and to free yourself from the shame and blame that are carryovers from the past. You will become an adult who is imprisoned no longer by childhood reactions. You will recover the child within you, learning to accept and love yourself. The healing begins when we risk moving out of isolation. Feelings and buried memories will return. By gradually releasing the burden of unexpressed grief, we slowly move out of the past. We learn to reparent ourselves with gentleness, humour, love and respect. This process allows us to see our biological parents as the instruments of our existence. Our actual parent is a higher power whom some of us choose to call God. Although we had alcoholic or dysfunctional parents, our higher power gave us the 12 steps of recovery. This is the action and work that heals us. We use the steps, we use the meetings, we use the telephone. We share our experience, strength and hope with each other. We learn to restructure our sick thinking one day at a time. When we release our parents from responsibility for our actions today, we become free to make helpful decisions as actors, not reactors. We progress from hurting to healing to helping. We awaken to a sense of wholeness we never knew was possible. By attending these meetings on a regular basis, you will come to see parental alcoholism or family dysfunction for what it is, a disease that infected you as a child and continues to affect you as an adult. You will learn to keep the focus on yourself in the here and now. You will take responsibility for your own life and supply your own parenting. You will not do this alone. Look around you and you will see others who know how you feel. We will love and encourage you no matter what. We ask you to accept us just as we accept you. This is a spiritual program based on action coming from love. We are sure that as the love grows inside you, you will see beautiful changes in all your relationships, especially with God, yourself, and your parents. Pass.
Thank you, Nikki. And then we have the steps, and I welcome Marius.
Hello, everybody. This is Marius from Romania. I'm an adult child. These are the steps. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over the effects of alcoholism and other dysfunctions, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand God. Step four, made the searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Step five, admitted to God, to ourselves and another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Step six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Step seven, humbly asked God to remove our shortcomings. Step eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Step 10, continue to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understand God, praying only for knowledge of God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And step 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to others who still suffer and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, I pass.
Thank you. You may have related to our readings even if there was no apparent alcoholism or addiction in your home. This is common because this dysfunction can occur in a family without the presence of addiction. We will welcome you. We remind us of the 12th tradition. What you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here. We do not talk about another person's story or experiences to other people. We also want to remind our speakers that the meeting is recorded and will be published on the websites. We do not cross-talk during the sharing time. Cross-talk means interrupting, referring to, or commenting on what another person has said during the meeting. We do not cross-talk because adult children come from family backgrounds where feelings and perceptions were judged and wrong or defective. We accept without comment what others say because it is true for them. We work toward taking more responsibility in our lives rather than giving advice to others. We welcome our speaker today, Gabrielle from Lithuania. Welcome.
Thank you so much. So hello, everyone. I'm a very grateful member of ACA. I'm an adult child and I'm from Lithuania. It's a great pleasure to speak to all of you. I just checked the participants list and I saw there's people from Canada, US, Poland, the UK, Germany, Norway. So that's very, very nice to see. Even Israel, I saw someone. So that's amazing. Anytime I get the chance to participate in any ACA convention that's on a bigger scale, I feel the power of the program and actually how many adult children there is in the world. So that's very, very nice to see and really very grateful for you to tune in into this meeting. So as I said, I'm an adult child and when I was invited to speak on this topic, without any doubt, I said yes, because I had a sponsor who was very strict with me. And she said, always say yes when you ask to do service. She had like this tough love on me. And that was very good. That really worked well for me. And I always say yes whenever I can to do service. And to start with, I started going to ACA 5 years ago. I would say speak lightly if I said that I owe everything I have right now to the program, because I really do. The program has changed my life completely. Everything I have is because of the program, because of my sponsor, because of the meetings, because of our book, Yellow Book, the Big Book. When I came to the rooms, when I started going to the ACA, I was very, very frightened, very scared. I was scared of everything, people, places, my emotions, actions, everything. And I was the most scared of not being perfect and not doing things perfectly. Even today, when I was preparing for the talk, I was like, oh, how is the lighting? How is the sound? How is everything? And overthinking all these things. The list goes on, and I was very, very frightened of everything. It seemed from outside that I was an adult, like a grown-up person, but I wasn't inside. I felt like, I don't know, like a few-year-old child. The reason why I was so frightened of everything is because I was keeping all the family secrets I had from the family where I grew up in. Actually, the secrets I had from my home haunted me in my dreams, I would say. I used to have these big, big nightmares, which I later found out is PTSD. And everyday life was very difficult for me even. I grew up in a very small village. Only 3,000 people live here. Lithuania on its own is a small country. Only 3 million people live. in our country, but I grew up even like in a smaller setting. And I have two sisters, alcoholic dad, and a mom who is still living with that alcoholic parent. And our mom, I don't have a label for her, actually. I think she just she was just trying to do her best. She also grew up in a very difficult family, and she really, really, really tried to do her best when she was raising us. And I would call my dad a functioning alcoholic. He has a huge farm. He still manages that business, and from the outside looking in, our family looked, my dad would only drink on the weekends, like half the week, like 3 days, for example, Friday to Sunday or Friday to Monday or something like this. So people would think that our family just likes to party or something, you know, and it just seemed normal, you know, but actually it wasn't. Our dad was a crazy, crazy drunk, like really crazy. He was smashing chairs to the windows. He would sometimes eat glass, I don't know, to show how much he cares for us or loves us or something. Then he would threaten us, of course. He would beat up our mom. He would frighten us, scare us, attack us. So it wasn't easy, and it was very, very scary. And the problem with alcoholism was that with him, at least, that with our dad, is that you would never know how bad his mood was. Sometimes he would get drunk and he would be happy, so that was like the easy days. But most of the time he would be very, very aggressive, and that was the biggest tension, because after the thing happens, the aggression, you're sort of relaxed. But before that, there used to be this huge, huge tension in our house all the time. And so that was really difficult on me as a child. I was kind of sensitive, overly thinking, and trying to escape the alcoholic home as much as I could. So I had many activities. I tried to, in the school, I used to pretend that everything was fine, of course, from outside as well. As my parents taught me, to keep this facade, this perfect facade to the world, that's what I was doing. I didn't show any bad emotions. I was a very good girl who was doing her homework, learning, and doing as many activities as she could. And I was doing the activities as perfect as I could, to seem as normal as possible to the world, so they wouldn't find out this secret of mine, that I have aggressive alcoholic raging in back home, behind closed doors. So yeah, and what happened is I grew up and I went to study abroad, because I thought by changing the environment, I will change it. Everything will change. The problems will disappear, because I was always feeling very unique. I felt like I didn't fit in Lithuania, that I wasn't supposed to be born in Lithuania. The least, I was supposed to be born in the middle of New York, you know, like, I don't know, or Hollywood or something. So yeah, that was what I was dreaming about and thinking about. So I didn't look within myself. I was looking outside, and I thought that screw Lithuania, and I'm moving to another country. So I went to study abroad, and that wasn't the best move, because all this pretending that I'm fine, I took it all with me to the UK. I took it all. I packed it up and I took it all. And it was very... very, very isolating experience, to say the least. I was alone in the UK. I was studying, but the problem was that I didn't know how to make friends, because I was never taught how to make friends, how to make connections, and how to just be a normal person, you know. What was I gonna say? I forgot. Sorry. Yeah, and the only way I actually learned how to make connections was by partying, by getting drunk. And later I found out that I have an issue with it. I cannot control my drinking. I have an addiction to alcohol. The alcohol was sort of the way I would cope with it. But after alcohol, of course, I wouldn't drink every day because I was like kind of studying as well. After that, after alcohol, after drinking, the next mornings I feel very lonely, very isolated. I didn't feel like I belong anywhere. I thought that my life when I left my home would be completely different, but it wasn't. I think I will talk a little bit about my bottom as well, because that's important to the experience, how I came to the ACA. As I said, I was pretending that I was fine when I really wasn't. By the time I was like 19, 18 year old, I started all these like suicidal negative thoughts started coming to my head. I didn't want to live because I thought that life isn't meaningful to live. Life isn't worth living. From outside, I was a beautiful, smart girl, young, 20 years. But at the same time, I didn't want to be there. So be here at all. The problem was that even like doing simple things in life was very difficult for me, like waking up, doing breakfast for myself, taking care of myself, simple hygiene, saying hello to people because I was scared of people. I didn't know how to talk to them. I didn't know how to express my emotions, and they all were boiling up from all these years. I used to think that I didn't feel any anger, but in the program I found out that I felt so much anger. I had it because I'm human. I didn't know how to be playful because we didn't play in our house, and I didn't know how to relax, how to just do nothing, for example. This I didn't know. I was always like working, overworking, overstudying, overdoing, and not taking any minute, any time for myself. Whenever I would be in groups of people, I didn't feel normal. I didn't know how to act normal. And I always thought that everyone is thinking that I don't know how to act normal. But I know that's just egocentric thinking about myself, I think that people are thinking about me, but they are not. They're not interested in me. They're interested in themselves. I shouldn't be thinking just about myself as well. I have all these many negative experiences with the studying. I didn't make any friends. I'm not a very nice person to my roommates. All these things were happening like 5 years ago. The reason how I came to the ACA was I had a relationship with a person who I thought was the love of my life. But later, of course, he wasn't. He was just as messed up as I was. So that's what I was attracted to him. That's the problem with this disease we have, is we are attracted to people that are as messed up as we are, as broken as we are. So it was exactly that. He broke up with me. That was right before coming to the program. At that point, I didn't feel like myself anymore. When I remember that broken heart, I remember like the feeling of floating somewhere, you know, like I do not exist here. I'm not on the ground, I would say, something like this, like very, very strange, very weird experience. I couldn't believe that someone broke up with me. Someone this amazing, you know, as me. When I came to the fellowship, I was very lucky how I came to the fellowship, because my older sister, she was already in the fellowship, and she was telling me all these things about the program. And I was, no, really, it's not for me. This doesn't sound right. Finally, after this broken relationship, I I realized that I have to do something. I have to do something different with my life. And when I came to one of the AA actually conventions together with ACA and Al-Anon, they organized one really big one in the Baltic, in Lithuania. And when I came there, I saw people who had things that I wanted to have. They were free. They were happy. They didn't want to die. They wanted to live. They were very happy to see each other. And they were just simply very, very happy. Actually, when I was preparing for this meeting, I realized that that experience, seeing those people in that convention happy, I think that was God, God's way of telling me that I need to stay here, you know, in the meetings, in the groups. After that convention, I found a sponsor for myself, and I honestly did whatever she told me to do. And sometimes I was writing about things that I didn't understand at all. For example, unmanageable life, what is that? You know, at the beginning, I was like, I'm not supposed to manage my own life, so who will manage my life? This at the beginning I didn't understand at all. Then I had the problem with higher power, because my entire life I didn't believe in one, and I didn't think that higher power was in my life, because look how hard my life was, you know, like I had all these horrible experiences. So that was very hard. But even though I didn't believe in God at the beginning or higher power, my sponsor told me to pray. So I prayed. She told me to write at least three things that I'm grateful for every day. And I wrote these three things, even if it was like just food, the bed, and, you know, simple basic things. Of course, I wrote the honest inventory of myself. The fourth step was the least pleasant thing, because I needed to be, for the first time, I think, in my life, I was very honest with someone. And I told them about how I manipulate people, how I, for example, take advantage of my dad's money, how I guilt trip my mom to thinking, you know, to feel sorry for me, and so on. So that was probably the first time I was very honest with someone, my sponsor. There was a step where I needed to pray for God to remove my character defects. It was also hard, because it turns out I had so many of them. So yeah. The one of the strongest steps probably is making amends to people closest to me. It was really hard. The hardest part was making it to my parents. To my dad, I haven't done it directly yet, but to my mom, I have. Actually, to be honest, I wouldn't ever think that I would even consider doing, you know, the step 9 to my mom, for example, because I used to always think that if everything was her fault, but it wasn't.
20 minutes.
Mm-hmm, thank you. What I want to say about the step is steps that none of it feels comfortable and easy, but I did them because that was the only way, you know, for me to survive. Actually, I didn't want to live this this sad life that I was living before the program. So yeah, and the way I try to live the steps in my everyday life. So first of all, doing the steps, the step work, provided me with a skill set that I didn't have before. So the steps I briefly told you about, I use them whenever I need to use them, about character defects, or remembering that I do not manage my own life, that God has to manage my own life. Really, these steps really helped me to maintain my emotional sobriety. Then, of course, the meditation, the prayer, the maintenance step, the step 10 inventory, which I do every day, really, really helps me as well. It really, really has changed my life. The second thing is that I actively practice on connecting with my higher power. It really, really Gabi helps me to have clarity in my life and connection with my higher power. So by only practicing the connection with God, I can have one. It's not a one-way street where God only gives me everything and I don't do anything. So I need to really practice by meditating, praying, writing gratitude list I write every single day. And it's a great skill for me to have. And the last point of for me to live the sober, emotionally sober life is to do service. So service, I think, is one of the biggest drivers in my sobriety. And the reason why I stayed in the program was I was always doing service. Whether I needed to wash the cups, bring the chairs, help with the program, help organizing conventions, speaking in the meetings, chairing in the meetings. I was participating also in the internal group, in the organizational group of Lithuania as well, of ACA. And of course, the service part is having sponsees. And I think the reason why I understand the steps and I can apply them to my life is because of my sponsees, because I hear my sponsees sharing their experience and I remember the place where I come from while listening to them. So yeah, so to sum up, living the steps for me in everyday life to maintain my emotional sobriety is practicing the steps, trying to apply them in my life, working on my relationship with God, however I understand it, and I do serve and doing service whenever I can do it. And even if there's a slightest chance that I can do this service, I will do it. Yes. So to finish, I would like to say that I think by trying not to live the way I was raised by my alcoholic parents, and instead trying to live this different life, that's how I'm living the steps, and that's how I'm trying to live the emotionally sober life. And if there's any newcomers listening, please coming back. It works if you work it, as the book says. Thank you very much for listening and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Gabrielle. We will now open the room for shares. Please use the raise hand function if you like to speak. We encourage ACA members from different countries to share openly about their experience. To allow as many people a chance to share during the meeting, we ask each person to limit their sharing to 3 minutes. And Fredrik will give the speaking. Thank you.
Just a correction. Marcus will do that. Thank you.
Okay.
So please raise your hands if you have any questions. Helen, you have raised your hands. If you could unmute yourself, please.
Thank you. Hi, my name's Helen. Hi, Gabrielle. I enjoyed listening to you very much. Thank you. And I think what I'd like to say is, well, I'm on step 8 at the moment, and I have a very strong inner critic, and the perfectionism in me oftentimes tells me that maybe I've not done things correctly. And I've got two kind of questions, really. One is it important to have gone through the steps fully yourself first before sponsoring? And the second one is, how long do I spend on each step? I've got a feeling that I might have rushed through step 4 and step 5. So I wonder whether I need to go back and do step 4 and step 5 again. Or is it important to just acknowledge that I've done the best that I could at that time and just move on in trust with my higher power? And I'm also kind of at the same time as working the steps, I'm involved in a traits workshop, which is wonderful because it's deepening my understanding of the laundry list. And but like, I worry that I'm not doing the right thing with the steps. So I just hope that I can kind of learn something from this today. I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Helen. So to answer your question, the number one question, so shortly, no, you don't. I don't think you have to finish all the steps to be the sponsor, but it's all about the inner feeling that you have. So, for example, if you feel strongly enough that you can sponsor, please, by all means, if there's a person who relates to your experience and they are saying, listen, Helen, I would like you to be my sponsor, of course, speak to your sponsor first before deciding anything. But if you feel inside that you can do it, absolutely do it. And the second question, you answered it yourself, you know, it's there's no time limit on any step. Some people take 2 years to finish the steps, some people take 4 months to finish the steps, and you know, and everyone has a great sober, emotionally sober life. So you answered it yourself. You said that you did the best you can, and I think that was it. And if you feel like you want to do it, do the steps again, you can always do it with your sponsor, or you know, in a workshop with other ACA people. So yeah, that would be it.
Thank you. Imbal TLV, you have raised your hand. You could ask a question. Imbal TLV, I can see you are unmuted. Do you hear me? We are not hearing anything, Imbal. Okay. We'll try later, Imbal. Is there anyone else who would like to raise their hands and ask a question? Mel, you have raised your hand. Please unmute yourself if you would like to ask or share something.
Mute myself. Hi, I'm Melanie from Holland. Thank you so much for sharing your story. It's very inspiring me. My English is not that well. I'm trying. You were talking about sponsorship. I really want to have a sponsor myself. I'm now in a step work group, but I think because of my life experience, I find it a bit scary to do it in a group or maybe. So what do you think? Is it possible to do it in a group, or would you suggest to do it just with a sponsor, the steps? That was my question.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for the question. My personal opinion, and that's only my opinion, I think the best way to go through the step is with a sponsor. So the meeting groups are very useful, the workshops are very useful for some insights, but I think the miracle, the change happens one-on-one with a sponsor, when someone else is carrying out the message and the experience to you know, to you directly. So I think that's the strongest experience. And of course, but that's my experience. I know people who would probably say otherwise, but that's what I believe in. And I think to get a sponsor would be the best next step, you know, after finishing the workshop.
And how do I get a sponsor? Because in Holland, they are not available.
Maybe the organizers of the convention could answer this. Maybe there's a list of something. And there are a lot of sponsors who sponsor online as well. Yeah. You know, so maybe you can have a look. Yeah.
Okay, thank you very much.
We had a question in the chat.
Yeah, and it's from Eva Sweden, who asked, how do you do your step 10 and how often?
Yeah, thank you very much for the question. So I'm very proud this year because this entire year I didn't miss a single day of writing my step 10 inventory. And what I try to do, I do it sort of the old-fashioned way. Through the 5 years, I tried many, many different things, but that's the best that works for me. So what I try to do is I look through my day. And I see the experiences that were the most meaningful for me. So whatever it was, stress at work, I said something that I wasn't happy about, any even the smallest interactions, if I don't feel, if they don't sit well with me, I write them. And any positive things as well, if I'm proud of myself, if I'm proud of other people, if I'm happy to have people in my life who helped me today, or who I have helped myself. And yeah, just try to, it's a mix of experiences. And then once I inventory the entire day, I write a gratitude list. So that's also nice to see day by day, because sometimes I write like a huge one or two pages gratitude list where I'm grateful for many, many things. Sometimes I'm only grateful for five things or three things on a Saturdays, I would say. So, but that's okay, you know, as long as I have something to be grateful about. And what I try to do is with the step 10 is on every Sunday, I try to read from Monday to Sunday what happened. And it's very nice to see as well, you know, the progress. What I was worrying about at the beginning of the week is not so important on a Sunday, you know. So, yeah, so that's what I try to do. There are many ways to do the step 10. The yellow book explains it as well. Definitely recommend trying it and doing it as often as you can.
Thank you. Mona, you have raised your hand.
Hi, I'm Mona, adult child from Sweden. thank you very much for your share. It was very... very good for me to hear that. And actually, you already answered my question in a previous share, because it was about sponsor. I've done the steps and in groups, but not with a sponsor. So that was really my question, and you already answered it. But I would like to thank you.
Thank you so much, Mona. Thank you.
Julia, you have raised your hand. Please go ahead.
I'm Julia from Romania, adult child. I loved your talk. my problem is I had an eating disorder. Now it's stable. I use the program with also many things like therapist and other stuff. I try to do the program with... a sponsor, but I'm not having, not even now a sponsor, because I wanted to be myself a sponsor, but every time I find a sponsor woman, it's reactive to me because my mom was the issue. So I want to ask you if there is possible to have a male sponsor. I know it's a thing on me, but I don't know why I am so reactive when it comes to the figure of authority in my life, when it's the sponsor. I mean, my therapist is also a male right now, because I kind of run away from therapists that are women. Thank you.
Thank you, Julia. I can only tell you what the program says and what you know, what is the experience. So the usual practice is for men to take men as sponsees and for women to take women as sponsees. So I personally don't know if it would be the best move to take a man, but maybe my insight would be to find a woman who you the person that you admire in the program, you know, who's nice and who you think who you believe in, you know, who you relate to, or you just think that it's a nice personality and they have done the steps. It doesn't have to be the smartest you know, person in the meeting that you think, or with the longest experience, but maybe just someone, you know, kind, nice, and maybe once you find the right sponsor, then you can do the steps, you know. So yeah, that would be my take, Julia.
We had a question in the chat.
And it's a question about if you share your if you could share your contact info in the chat, if that's okay for you. So yeah, that was the question. Thank you.
Sure, I can share the contact.
Mira Bey, you have raised your hand.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, thank you very much. Hi, I just wanted to just say how grateful I am that of this meeting and of course of your talk, Gabrielle. It's wonderful that you can organize something like this despite all that's happening in the world. I wanted to ask, I sort of struggle on a daily basis, I feel, with kind of how what things to do and how often to do them. I basically, my routine right now is that I attend, well, one meeting with my sponsor in a week, and then another kind of step group, and then I do my sort of reading and like attend any other meeting that I'm able to. But I kind of feel like I don't actually have tools. Like you mentioned that, for example, you make an inventory, and is there any other things that you do on a daily basis that you found helpful? Yeah, thank you.
Thank you very much, Mira, for your question. I think the most important thing for me is to try and stay disciplined. So I look for things, you know, I used to wake up like at 6 or 5 o'clock in the morning and think that it was like healthy for me because I'm an early bird. But actually, apparently, I have to like sleep 8 hours and that's the minimum I need every day. So that's what I try to do. So the sleep, I drink plenty of water. I try to exercise regularly as much as I can, or go for walks. I love taking walks. And just eating regularly, for example, like it was not a thing in our family. We wouldn't eat. So, you know, I didn't have this big structure or like eat healthily. So now I eat like lots of vegetables, try to take care of myself. I eat at least 3 times a day, you know, at minimum. So these like physical things, I would say. And from everyday things, it's definitely the inventory, the prayer, and the meditation. I don't know any other tools to help me with. Of course, I try to stay in like weekly routines. So for example, I go to the meetings. I know which meetings I go to. I always go to them. It's, you know, it's like my night. Every Friday I go to the meeting. That's it. So I try to do this. Once I actually start writing the inventory by hand, then I'm a lot more alert on everyday life, whatever I do, because I know if I screw up, mean to someone or not very nice, I know I will have to write it down and then later make an apology to those people, because of course I'm living by the program. So I'm a lot more, you know, my intentions are... my life has a lot more intention in it than it used to be, than it used to have, and it's because of the step 10. So I hope I answered, and good luck to you, Mira.
Thank you.
Jolanta, you have raised your hand.
Hi everyone. Hi, Gabriel. Axel, it's good to hear you. I wanted to ask, how have your life changed after you completed 12 steps in ICA? Can you share that? Thank you.
Yes, so my life has changed a lot. I used to be very scared, as I said, I would control everything that I did, every single action. I tried to control everything around me. And after the program, all of it just disappeared. You know, I started, I started to feel how a normal person feels, you know. I know how to stay in a presence. I know how to be by myself. I try to do little self-love things for me, to taking care of myself. I take care of other people. I have sponsees. I take care of my family, my boyfriend, my sisters, my friends, and I'm just living in a normal life, you know, my relationship with my parents have changed tremendously, I would say, tremendously. It really has improved to the better. I don't see my parents as abusers or, you know, as horrible parents as I used to see them before the program. Now I have a nice, friendly relationship with them. My dad is a very funny guy, apparently. He makes like lots of really good jokes. My mom is very caring. She makes, you know, food and takes care of me in like ways that she understands it. So yeah, my relationship has really changed with my parents, and that has really improved. And of course, the other thing, probably the biggest, is the higher power. You know, I feel like my God is always with me, and He will never abandon me, and He loves me unconditionally. It doesn't matter what I do. So yeah, shortly, that would be those things. Thank you for your question, Yolanda.
Thank you, Gabrielle. Frederick, you had a suggestion or a question?
Yeah, hello everyone. There is a lot of question about sponsors in the chat. And because of we have the solution that you can't chat with each other, please, I will put up my email and you could send your contact info and your name to that email during the next 15 minutes. And I will put up the name and the email on the chat for the sponsor panel, that is the next meeting. But to be clear, we in the EC only put up the names and the emails. We have nothing to do with if this is who should contact who. We just yeah, we have no responsibility for that because this is because you can't chat with each other. So that's why we do it, to spread who is available. So please put it up on the chat or send an email to me and I will put up the list in the next session. Okay, thank you.
Will we start to close the meeting?
Thank you, Päivi. Please go ahead and start the meeting up.
And somebody who wants to read the promises can raise hands so we can take it then. We have come to the end of this speaker meeting. I would like to thank speakers, everyone that shared today and was of service to make this virtual event happen. Please check the web pages for information about these meetings and B3 recordings. So do we have somebody who can read the promises?
Marius, you raised your hand. Would you like to read the promises?
Yes, this is Marius, adult child from Romania. The promises. We will discover our real identities by loving and accepting ourselves. Promise two. Our self-esteem will increase as we give ourselves approval on a daily basis. Promises three, fear of authority figures and the need to people please will leave us. Fourth, our ability to share intimacy will grow inside us. Promise five, as we face our abandonment issue, We will attract by strength and become more tolerant of weaknesses. Promise six, we will enjoy feeling stable, peaceful, and financially secure. Promise seven, we will learn how to play and have fun in our lives. Promise eight, we will choose to love people who can love and be responsible for themselves. promise 9, healthy boundaries and limits will become easier for us to set. Promise 10, fears of failure and success will leave us as we intuitively make healthier choices. Promise 11, will help with help from our ACA group, support group, we will slowly release our dysfunctional behaviors. And promise 12, gradually, with our higher powers' help, we will learn to expect the best and get it. Thank you, I pass.
Seven tradition. We remind ourselves of the seven tradition. Every ACA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. To make a seven tradition contribution by using a PayPal account, please visit our website. And the website is shared on the chat. I thank you for my side. I was very nervous and I'm sorry for my English, but I think I did it. So thank you for all this from you and especially Gabriel for the meeting. The next meeting is 4:30 and it will be the sponsorship panel. So welcome everybody. And now please join me in closing our meeting with the ACA Serenity Prayer in the language you prefer. God, grant me serenity to accept the people I cannot change, the courage to change the one I can, and the wisdom to know that one is me. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Just
thank you so much.
What clarification? The next meeting is in 15 minutes and it's about the laundry list. So, yeah, to be clear, 15 minutes. And after that is the sponsorship panel.
Okay, so, I have the paper and I just read from it, straight from it.
Sorry.
So sorry.
Thanks, Pavi. Thanks, Gabrielle.
Thank you. Thank you, Pavi. Thank you, Gabrielle.
Thank you.